1 Samuel 16:7. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Psalm 51:6. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. I trust that you have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. In a few moments after our prayer, we'll be looking at verses 13 and 14. Keep that in mind, please. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 and 14. We pray together before we begin our study this evening. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours again to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We are the born-again believers, receivers of your great grace and love and magnificent power on every single day of our lives. We're thankful indeed that we're privileged to be here once again to open our minds and our hearts to these wonderful scriptures. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, which we'll read in a few moments. We're dealing tonight with the subject, God's pledge that we're His, which emphasizes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You see on the screen the subject, Holy Spirit indwelling. I want to put this on the screen for you. Grace Bible Church is made up of serious students of the Word of God. Please, no talking, no unnecessary moving, no distractions. This allows perceptive believers to learn. Thank you very much. I've tried to put this in different words so that you'll be able to see that our continual emphasis here is the study of the Word of God. Now on the screen you see Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to let me read that verse, and then we'll go back and look at verse 13. Verse 14 begins, "Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory." I have to tell you that an understanding of verse 14 will not come easily unless we spend some time again recapitulating verse 13. Look at it, if you will, please. "In Him, you also, having listened to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory." I need to remind you, and I'll put this on the screen for just a few seconds. You've seen this diagram many times. I will not tonight recapitulate all the various facets of it. I will call your attention to the point that I have pointed out for you here, which is the age of the church, which is known as the age of grace. You will see on this diagram that just preceding it is the age of Israel. with a cross, which shows that Jesus Christ was born in the age of Israel. Jesus Christ died on the cross in the age of Israel. And then we have, as you can see, what is known as the intercalated, inserted period of time, known as the age of grace, the church age, between Pentecost on the one hand and the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand, which is the rapture. We have what is known as the age of grace, the church age. You and I are privileged individuals because we have been allowed to be born and to be alive now in this magnificent period of time known as the age of grace, the church age. We're able to see so many magnificent truths in the Word of God in relationship to what has happened to us as having been born into God's kingdom at this particular time. You will notice, please, when you look at verse 14, after having looked at verse 13, which emphasizes the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, it says, who is given as a pledge, a down payment, the escutcheon of our eternal inheritance. I need to point out to you something that we've already emphasized in the past, and that is you have the words in the Greek, who, a verb, is, and then the word A-R-R-A-B-O-N, Arabon. We've already emphasized the fact that this word, Arabon, means the escutcheon, the down payment on our eternal inheritance. What I pointed out to you in the past, and I repeat tonight, if you'll look carefully, you will see the article, the. Then you'll see this simple verb here, the present active third person singular of I am, a verb of being. And then right before the word Arabon, you will see something that is missing. And what is missing here is an article. So it doesn't say who is the earnest. It says who is earnest. So we translate it then as we should translate it, without the article, which puts an emphasis upon the qualitative aspects of that particular noun, which emphasizes the power and influence of the fact that we are the recipients of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So this is saying who is the down payment, the earnest, the pledge of our eternal inheritance until the redemption of the possession of the praise of His glory. I have to tell you that I have a lot more information than I have in time for that this evening. I'm not sure how far I'm going to go because I want to have fun as I go along. And so when I realize that you're tired and it's time to go home, I'll stop. I don't make that a promise. I'm just telling you that right now that's what I'm thinking. What I want you to be able to see this evening is, as we consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we have to think in terms of, number one, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have on the screen now for you a definition. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit taking the believer at the moment of salvation and putting that person into the family of God. Now, I want you to think with me. We won't spend a lot of time here, but I do think that we need to have clear in our thinking what is the meaning of the subject, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit taking the believer at the moment of salvation and putting that individual into the family of God. There are many verses that describe that, but I want to have on the scripture, on the screen, the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:13 and Colossians 2:12. I repeat because I want you to have time to write this if you so desire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit taking the believer at the moment of salvation and putting that person into the family of God. Now, with that thought complete in our thinking, let's look at the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit coming to make His residence inside the believer at the moment that the person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I back up and let you see that again. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit coming to set up His residence inside the believer at the moment that the person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now notice, if you will, please, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and Galatians 3:2. While the indwelling Spirit never leaves the Christian, He may or may not be in control of the Christian's life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent. The filling of the Holy Spirit is temporary. We'll discuss that more as we move along. While the indwelling Spirit never leaves the believer, that person may or may not be under the control of the Holy Spirit in his Christian life. What we find as we turn through the pages of the Word of God, that Christians are never, in this church age, commanded to be baptized or indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the reason for that is because the baptism and the indwelling relate to that which is permanent rather than relating to that which is temporary. So you have never a command in the Word of God for the Christian to be commanded to be baptized or commanded to be indwelt. There is one act of indwelling and one act of baptism. These occur at the point of regeneration, at the point of the new birth. Now, with that thought in mind, we're ready to move into, first of all, an emphasis on the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the means by which a Christian is cleansed of sin, Christ-controlled, and prepared for the reception, absorption, assimilation, appropriation, and application of the Word of God. Now, that's a long sentence, isn't it? Now, you may or may not have time to take all that down, but it is a fantastic definition for the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is the means by which a Christian is cleansed of sin, Christ-controlled, and prepared for these following things: the reception, absorption, assimilation, appropriation, and application of the Word of God. I wish that we could have the time to deal with every one of those words, because they're very, very, very important. You and I must realize the importance of living our lives with the control of the Holy Spirit, with the mind of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. As a born-again believer, we're going to either be victorious or we're not going to be victorious, depending upon our practice in relationship to the controlling power of the Spirit of God. I'm saying all these things to give you time, if you want to take these words down, to do so. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the means by which a Christian is cleansed of sin, Christ-controlled. Once all of this is done, then the believer is prepared for the reception, absorption, assimilation, appropriation, and application of the Word of God. Just in case I close this page and you don't have all of it, if you'll do me a favor, come up here after the service and I'll lay this out for you to copy it, because I want you to have this down. I'm repeating it one more time. The filling of the Holy Spirit, the means by which a Christian is cleansed of sin, Christ-controlled, and prepared for the reception, absorption, assimilation, appropriation, and application of the Word of God. What I'm going to say today, next, is a powerful statement indeed. The Christian life is a human impossibility. The Christian life is a human impossibility. There's no way that any one of us can live victoriously if we depend upon ourselves to do that. Therefore, when a person is controlled by a power greater than man's power, that power is absolutely necessary to break the hold of the flesh which the Bible calls carnality. Let's look again at what we have here. The Christian life is a human impossibility. Therefore, when a person is controlled by the Holy Spirit, he or she is controlled by a power greater than our power. That power is absolutely necessary to break the hold of the flesh, which the Bible calls carnality. What I try to do in these brief moments is to lay a foundation for the meaning that we will find in our verse tonight, Ephesians 1:14, which is an emphasis upon that magnificent subject of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. First of all, we want to give a definition. If you've heard it previously tonight, wonderful. If you didn't get it, please get it now. A definition and a description of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the very moment of salvation. I'm giving you time to think with me about this. So often words come out and we don't have the time to think it through, and so when it's over with, we have not comprehended what has been said. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment of salvation. The scripture that so beautifully reveals this is the writings from the hand of the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 and 1 Corinthians 3:16. I probably should be reading those verses, but I would like for you to write them down so that you can look them up later. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the church age believer at the moment of salvation. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Number two, the indwelling of the Spirit is one of the six permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit at salvation. Now, probably you want to know all about this, but we're going to do it quite rapidly, but at least we will mention the indwelling of the Spirit is one of the six permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit at salvation. The purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in the body of every church age believer for the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory and the indwelling of God, our Heavenly Father. I realize that these sentences are long, and I don't want to go so rapidly that you don't see them. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is one of the six permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit at salvation. The purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in the body of every church age believer for the pledge, for the down payment, for the arabon, for the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory and the indwelling of God, the Heavenly Father. If you'll just hold that in your thinking, let's look now at some things that will help understand it. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. People go into churches and they call it the sanctuary. And I understand that they mean well, but really we understand that there's only one sanctuary, and that is an individual who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are no sacred buildings in the church age. The only sacred building was a temple in Jerusalem, which belonged to Israel and was destroyed in 70 AD. God the Holy Spirit makes a sacred building out of your body for the indwelling of God the Son and God the Father. Now let's think about what is being said. This is so powerful, it needs to be understood. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. This building, we appreciate it, but it is not a sacred building. The only sacred building was the temple in Jerusalem, which belonged to Israel and was destroyed in 70 AD. God the Holy Spirit makes a sacred building out of your body and mine for the indwelling of God the Son and God the Father. Number three, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is also a sign of the royal family status, which is superior to being in the family of God as believers in the past dispensation were. Now notice, please, and this may be a little confusing, so I want to warn you ahead of time. I want you to understand the next statement that I'm going to give, and I'm going to try to explain it so that you won't have any difficulty with it. Number three again, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a sign of the royal family status, which is superior to being in the family of God as believers in past dispensations were. In the millennium, and I'm moving you in your thinking now over into the millennium. In the millennium, all believers are filled with the Holy Spirit, but no millennial believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think with me about that before you shut me down and close me off and not listen to what I'm saying. I want you to be able to comprehend what is being presented. Here's a thought you need to have in mind. When you look at the timeline, you will see the age of Israel. You'll see what we presented at the first of the session tonight, the church age, the intercalated period, the church age. Then you have the tribulation, 7 years, and then you have the millennium. If you'll go over here to the age of Israel, you will discover that the age of Israel was not completed, was not consummated. And so the age of Israel will be consummated with the 7 years of the tribulation. So the age of Israel is picked up again and continues and is consummated with the 7 years of tribulation. So the people in the tribulation time who survive the Battle of Armageddon, those individuals who survive all that warfare that takes place in the closing 3.5 years of the tribulation, and they move into the millennium. They will move into the millennium in their physical bodies from the tribulation into the millennium. And so they will move as a part of the age of Israel into the millennium. With that thought in mind, completed in your thinking, you will be able to see all believers are filled with the Holy Spirit in the millennium, but no millennium believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. If you heard what I said and you were able to comprehend, then you were able to see there was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit until the church age. Believers in the Old Testament were empowered by the Holy Spirit at times, which was known as endowment. We understand the difference between endowment and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We live, you and I live, on the best side of history, which is after the cross. Therefore, we're members of the royal family to complement our Lord's battlefield royalty. In other words, we receive 6 additional ministries of the Holy Spirit at salvation. I mentioned a few moments ago that there would be additional permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit. Here they are: efficacious grace, regeneration, sealing, spiritual gifts, the filling of the Holy Spirit, baptism. If you want to take those 7 down, there they are. Number 4. While no believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in other dispensations, all believers are indwelt with the Holy Spirit in this age in which you and I now live, the church age. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in other dispensations was technically what is called endowment of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why when you go to Psalm 51:11, David said, "Take not your spirit from me." That would not be said in the church age. I hope you're able to see that statement. Number 5, the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every born-again believer, but only controls the soul of the believer under the title, The Filling of the Holy Spirit, or what the Bible speaks of as walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of every believer, number 5, but only controls the soul of the believer under the title, The Filling of the Holy Spirit, or the walking in the Spirit. The thing that I appreciate so much about you folks is that you come here for the purpose of learning. And sometimes as you're learning and listening, and one point is given after another, your mind gets rather tired. And I understand that. But I appreciate the fact that once you find yourself somewhat tired, just spend a moment in prayer. Be sure that you're properly filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can go on to the next point. Because it's important to take all this information. It's like a little baby climbing a stairway, going from one little step to another. That's the way it is for us. We're climbing the step, and we take one step at a time. And what you're doing, you're listening. And if you're listening attentively and carefully, you're able to see that one step that we give you leads to the next step. And that's the reason why we have these numbered. Number 6, it's important to distinguish between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is permanent, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is temporary, on the use of the restoration technique. Let me repeat this, and sometimes when I'm typing, I add additional words and probably don't need to. It's important to distinguish between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is permanent, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is temporary. When we sin, we lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. We do not lose the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, permanent. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, permanent. Filling of the Holy Spirit, temporary. If you have that comprehension, then you're going to appreciate all of these steps that are being presented here. When we sin, we lose the filling of the Holy Spirit, but not the indwelling of the Spirit. Number 7. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the believer because the old sin nature lives in the body of the believer. The Holy Spirit indwells the body of the believer because the old sin nature lives in the body of the believer. Notice, if you will, please, in the life of every believer, human ability must be superseded by divine ability. In other words, if you're depending upon your old sinful nature to cause you to have victory in your Christian life, you and I will never make it. Therefore, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit are clearly delineated in the Bible and important to us. Number 8. However, the actual use of divine power from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit totally depends on the filling of the Holy Spirit rather than specifically the indwelling of the Holy Spirit alone. The indwelling is not operational apart from the filling. Now, do I need to say that in a different way, or did you get it? The indwelling is not operational apart from the filling. What we have to see, and we've presented this time and time again over the years, if we're going to have victory in our Christian lives, we're going to have to understand the importance, after having been born into God's kingdom, to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, and then saturated with the thinking, the mind of Jesus Christ. Number 9, therefore the believer must learn to distinguish between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is the filling of the Holy Spirit by which we utilize the methods by which the problems of life are resolved. This is so powerful. I don't know how. I'm trying to let you see how powerful it is. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit by which we utilize the methods by which problems of life are resolved. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the first major option of the spiritual life. And without this divine power, it's impossible to execute the unique spiritual life of the church. Divine power is necessary to execute the divine plan. Let me see if I can say that a different way. You and I are here because God wants us here. You and I are continuing to live. God is letting us continue to breathe right now. God continues to let our heart continue to tick. We're still alive. We're alive tonight. We're here tonight. We're alive. The reason for that is because God wants us to be here. There's a reason and a purpose for our being here. We may not fully comprehend the purpose and plan. We're not to be worried about that. We are to make sure that at this particular moment, and the next moment, and the next moment, we're cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, we're studying God's Word, we allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to direct us. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the first major option of the spiritual life. And without that divine power, it's impossible to execute the unique spiritual life that God has for us while we're here on the earth. Divine power is necessary to execute the divine plan. Without the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's no spiritual life. A perfect plan demands perfect power for its fulfillment. The Christian way of life is a supernatural way of life and demands a supernatural means of execution, which means anything that the unbeliever can practice is not the Christian way of life. Number 10, I realize I'm not going very rapidly. Out of about 33 or 4 pages of information, I want you to know that I'm on page 12. And we're not going to be here until I get to page 33 or 34. Number 10, the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit are not synonymous terms. The indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit are not synonymous terms. A, while the indwelling of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the body, the filling of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the believer's soul. Now I'm going to let you look at that. I want you to think about it. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the body. The filling of the Holy Spirit emphasizes the believer's soul. Therefore, the sphere of indwelling is always stated as the body of the believer. The Apostle Paul tells us time and time again, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, and these scriptures I gave you a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Your body is the sacred building of the church age. It's not this building. It's when you come in here, the church comes in here. The body comes in. When we leave, the church body leaves. The building is still here. It's not the sacred building. You and I make up the sacred building. Therefore, the sphere of the indwelling is always stated as the body of the believer. Your body, then, is the sacred building, the church. This indwelling makes it impossible for demon possession to occur. Now, what I'm trying to do is to take you up these steps, one step at a time. So when you're comprehending and completely being able to see this particular step, and then I give you another step, you're able to comprehend the meaning. And I've just given you another step. Your body is the sacred building of the church age. And this indwelling makes it impossible for demon possession to occur. Not demon influence, but demon possession. While both the indwelling and the filling are absolutes. They cooperate with each other and are not antithetical. They are different types of absolutes. Notice, please, they are absolutes. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is an irrevocable absolute. You remember when we talked about revocable and irrevocable? You remember what that means? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is an irrevocable absolute. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a revocable absolute through carnality. We've said this over and over again tonight. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent. We've said it over again tonight. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is permanent. We have said, and I repeat now, the filling of the Holy Spirit is temporary. The filling of the Holy Spirit is revocable. It's a revocable absolute. How is it revocable? By carnality. By being under the control of the sinful nature. The indwelling and filling are cooperating absolutes when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Subpoint 3. When the Holy Spirit controls the soul, the believer is said to be filled with the Spirit. But when the sin nature controls the soul, the believer is said to be carnal, both grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. I have information to give you in relationship to those two words, grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. I can't do that now. Number 4, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is both permanent and irrevocable, whether the believer is carnal or spiritual, a winning believer or a losing believer. What is so sad, folks, is that people who do not hold the scriptural presentation and view of the eternal security of the believer are a target on a day-by-day basis of Satan to keep them confused whether or not they've done something to disobey God and fall out of the plan of salvation. And that puts them in a state of total, continuous confusion and frustration and perplexity. I'm not dealing with the subject now of the eternal security of the believer. I would love to. I would love to show you how fantastic that subject is in the Word of God. If you don't look at anything else, look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And find your verbs there in the original language and you'll find out how fantastic the eternal security of the believer is. When the Holy Spirit controls the soul, the believer is said to be filled with the Spirit. But when the sin nature controls the soul, the believer is said to be carnal, both grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. Number 4, subpoint 4. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is both permanent and irrevocable, whether the believer is carnal or spiritual, a winner or a loser believer. Number 5. The filling of the Holy Spirit is temporary, depending on whether the believer is spiritual or carnal. You'd say, preacher, you've said that. Yes, I have. I've said it again. The filling of the Spirit is temporary, depending on whether the believer is spiritual or carnal. Subpoint 6. The filling of the Spirit is related to the believer's soul. When sin nature takes over, the believer's soul, then the believer is disobeying and sinning against God. Number 7. The purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Indwelling, the pledge. The purpose of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to provide a temple in the believer's body for the indwelling of Christ as the Shekinah glory. Oh, if we could only comprehend and see how fantastic this is. If you'll notice, I'm using terminology here, indwelling of Christ. Number 8, the purpose of the filling of the Spirit is to provide the enabling power for execution of the unique spiritual life in this magnificent age, the church age. Subpoint 9. Therefore, the indwelling of the Spirit is permanent, while the filling of the Spirit is temporary, depending upon the consistency in using the restoration, RTF, in 1 John 1:9. I've tried to take each one of these points one little step at a time for you to be able to see how fantastic the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent, whether the believer is spiritual or carnal. Therefore, it is non-experiential. Oh, there's so much depth here. There's so much here for you to see that doesn't just come with simple words. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is permanent, whether the believer is spiritual or carnal. Therefore, it is non-experiential. The filling of the Holy Spirit is temporary, depending on the experiential status of the believer. The filling of the Spirit is mandated by our Heavenly Father. When you go to Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. The filling of the Holy Spirit is mandated, but the indwelling of the Spirit is stated as a fact in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Therefore, the indwelling of the Spirit is permanent. It's a permanent status quo in time. You folks are listening so well. May I go on just for a few more moments? We have what we're going to call power options. Power options in the spiritual life. We can say it like this. The power of the Holy Spirit and the power of truth in the soul. These are options that you and I have. Both power options in the spiritual life. The Holy Spirit and the power of truth. And it depends upon the filling of God's Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a temple in the body. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the triumph, the victory of the soul. I just wish I knew where you are at this moment. I really wish I knew. What I'm trying to tell you is that the pastor, whether or not you understand it or not, the pastor is making love to you this evening. And the way that I love you is to communicate magnificent thoughts from the Word of God. And I'm aware of the fact that the steps we're taking, one little step at a time, may be at times a little bit confusing to us. Sometimes the nomenclature is not understood. I need to present additional nomenclature. We're commanded to not grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4:30. If I were you in your position right there where you're sitting, I would write down Ephesians 4:30. Because God commands us in His Word, grieve, not the Holy Spirit. Grieving the Holy Spirit occurs when we enter into satanic thinking. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we enter into satanic thinking. We enter into satanic thinking when we get out of harmony, out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when we enter into satanic thinking. If you look at this circle, and we call this living inside of God's power, and we find ourselves in right relationship with Him. And here comes a temptation. The temptation comes in to you inside of this circle. You're in fellowship. You're in harmony. Here comes this temptation. And it hits your hammer and anvil and stirrup. It hits your ear. And you hear that temptation. The temptation within itself is not sin. Here you are. Here comes this temptation. You have to make a decision what you're going to do with that temptation. You can obey the temptation, and when you do, you fall out of harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not out of salvation, but out of harmony. But if you, while you're looking at the luring temptation, and you say to yourself, it will be wrong if I act upon that temptation. It will be wrong. This mental thing, say lust has come in, and I can choose to turn my back on that, or I can turn and say, yes, I accept that temptation. The very moment that a person makes the decision to accept the temptation, automatically they're knocked out of the control of the Spirit of God, and they're under the control of their old sinful nature, and they are involved in satanic thinking. If you're out of fellowship, I promise you, you're not going to be thinking God's thoughts. You're going to be thinking satanic thoughts. We're commanded, and I've got to back up to let you see this. We're commanded in Ephesians 4:30 not to grieve the Holy Spirit, which occurs when we enter satanic thinking. That's grieving the Spirit. All right, the next word, and we're going to close with this. The next word is quench. When you go to 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we're commanded there, quench not the Spirit, which occurs when we enter satanic continuous control. Let's let you see this. I don't know what the particular temptation is. Should I name one? No, I don't want to name one, because that may be a problem for you. But whatever the temptation is, you view that temptation. The temptation comes. And you have to make a decision. Am I going to yield or not? If I yield, I will immediately become an individual with satanic thinking. Then outside here, I've got to make a quick decision whether I'm going to get back in harmony or I'm going to stay outside and continue enjoying that sinful thought or those thoughts. Notice, if you will, please. We're commanded to quench not the Holy Spirit, which occurs when we enter into continuous satanic control. Are you following me? Are you able to see the difference between quenching the Holy Spirit and the first statement, that is, grieving the Holy Spirit? I close to let you see these last words. We're never commanded to be indwelt by the Spirit. That always exists. But we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. And we're commanded to walk in the Spirit. I'm on page 21. Oh, boy. I got farther along than I thought I might. Our time is up. Maybe a bow for a moment of prayer. How fantastic it is for us to be able to see the difference between the filling of the Holy Spirit on the one hand and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the other hand. I trust you're able to put all this together and be able to have some fantastic conclusions in your mind. And you'll be able to practice what it is to be continually in harmony with Jesus Christ. We all have sinful natures. We all will fall short of God's glory. But we need to understand that when we get out of harmony, out of fellowship, we don't need to be controlled continuously. We need to get right back in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this in these last moments. Those of you who've heard this message tonight, this is for the believer. But if you are an unbeliever, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you ought to do that tonight. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you've never done that, you need to do that now. Jesus loves you, God loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross and die for you. He was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit in resurrection body at the right hand of God. He'll save you if you'll trust Him. I would encourage you to do that now. Father, thank You for this time together. Help us to appreciate the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you.